The business and financial plan of the Southern Baptist Convention today provides in section 7 and 8, and I quote, "The convention binds itself and its agencies faithfully to apply and use all designated gifts as designated by the donor. Each agency of the convention is hereby instructed and ordered to keep all trust funds and designated gifts, for they are trust funds, sacred to the trust and designation, that they be kept separate from all other funds of such agency, and that they are not to be used even temporarily for any other purpose than the purpose specified." We must reaffirm our insistence this morning that every individual and every church should have the right to designate any or all funds as it sees fit. We must never come to the place where we consider the cooperative program as sacred or to condition fellowship upon giving through the cooperative program. At the same time, we cannot urge too strongly the truth that the cooperative program does provide us as members of our churches the best means of getting 100 cents of every dollar we give. It does assure us that full information will be obtained on every opportunity for kingdom advance. And then as Baptists, meeting together with full information, we can give our best judgment as to the proper allocation of the resources to make these programs successful. The cooperative program is missions. The cooperative program has been blessed in an unusual way as a method for bringing men to God through Jesus Christ. The cooperative program is scriptural in its spirit and objective. The cooperative program is more than a budget or a method. It is a reflection of the compassion and concern heart. The cooperative program represents Baptists working together at their best as good stewards of the King. I would like to take this opportunity to present a new member of the executive committee staff, a man who has done effective work as the editor of the Mississippi Baptist paper. I ought to let Dr. Quarles present him, but he won't speak to me anymore. Dr. W.C. Fields, who comes succeeding Dr. McClellan as the director of public relations for the executive committee of the Southern Baptist Convention. I should like to present Dr. Fields, a native of Louisiana, graduate of Louisiana College, the Southern Seminary, pastor in Mississippi, editor of the Baptist Record in Mississippi, and we're happy to have him to come to be associated with us effective July 15. Dr. Fields.
And now, since we've worked Dr. Ruth rather hard this morning, I claim the privilege of moving, Mr. President, that the entire report of the executive committee that adopted yesterday the administrative section and that adopted this morning the promotion section be adopted as a whole.
Is there a second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And all opposed by the same sign? There is no opposition. It's unanimously adopted. We have a couple of minutes ahead of schedule. May the chair ask for the privilege of presenting another individual whom we wanted to present a few moments ago, but time would not permit. I believe that this convention would like to recognize, see, and hear for about 30 seconds Brother Bertram King. Will you come, Brother King? He is our liaison representative of the Home Mission Board with Canadian Baptists.
Thank you, Dr. Quarles. And may I bring you greetings from Canada. I've been going all over Canada bringing greetings from you all to them all. Now I'll bring greetings from them all to you all. It's a great joy and a privilege indeed to represent our great convention and to bring the resources that we have in evangelism and Christian education and all the other wonderful things to the Baptists of Canada. They need our help, and I bring from them the great appreciation that they have for the things that we're trying to do with and through them and for them. I believe that the Lord will bless this work in the years to come. They are our neighbors across the border. All you need is a meal ticket and a driver's license to get across. And anytime you want to come, we'd be happy to welcome you. Thank you for the help that you're giving them, and they're greatly appreciative of it.
Brother Chairman, the Committee on Committees, or rather the Committee on Time, Place, and Preacher, is being convened at 2:15 p.m. in room C-146. Also, the Committee on Resolutions at 11 a.m. this morning in room C-146. There is a lost and found booth in the foyer. If you have lost anything, if you have found anything, please report that to the foyer. We have a telegram from L.E. Barton, who for 60 years has been an enthusiastic supporter of the work of this convention. You would want to know that he had wired his regret that he could not be here and his expression of interest in the convention's activities. Reply will be made by the president. There are in attendance, or have been in attendance, all of the six living former presidents of this body. At the request of President Brooks Hayes, will these six former presidents of the convention please come to the platform? C.C. Warren, J.W. Storer, J.D. Gray, R.G. Lee, Louis D. Newton, W.W. Hamilton.
And now it is time for our special music.
Before we present our special music, let's stand and sing number 12. You hardly need a songbook, but you might. Let's all stand if we can. Present the Oklahoma Baptist University Bison Glee Club, Dr. Warren Angel, Director, for a brief program at this time.
The Bison Glee Club begins its concert with a hymn by B.B. McKinney entitled Rejoice. They will sing second, Look to This Day by Carl F. Mueller. next composition is an original one by Dean Angel. It's a patriotic anthem entitled Children of America.
Dim bombs. toe-bone, heel-bone connect-rum. Toe-bone, toe-bone connect-rum. Toe-bone, now hear the word of the Lord. Hip-bone, stim-bone, stim. Ha-ha-bone, stim-bone, stim-bone, stim. Ha-ha-bone, stim-bone, stim-bone, stim. Ha-ha-bone, now hear the word of the Lord.
Reserved for business. First item is an item to be presented by Brother Warren Marshall of Georgia. Brother Martin.
Mr. President, at the request of the Executive Committee, we are presenting the first portion of our report of the Committee on Boards, which deals only with the numbers to the Executive Committee. And I'm happy to present this portion of that report. For the Executive Committee, terms expiring 1962, Hugh Van Eaton, Alabama, Harold W. Seaver, Alabama, Ed Peckwood, Arizona, L.K. Edwards, Jr., Florida, James P. Westbury, Georgia, Claire C. Clark, Louisiana, Mesa C. Irvin, Louisiana, Owen Cooper, Mississippi, Charles E. Curry, Missouri, James Abernathy, New Mexico, Mrs. Gordon Madre, North Carolina, Herschel H. Hobbs, Oklahoma, Haskell McLean, Oklahoma, Lester Bates, South Carolina, Wayne Dehoney, Tennessee, Ralph J. Grant, Texas, B.J. Martin, Texas, terms expiring 1961, A. Leroy Parker, North Carolina, terms expiring 1960, Hobart H. Grooms, Alabama, W.D. Morris, North Carolina, Perry F. Webb, Sr., Texas, W.R. Pettigrew, Kentucky, Rang W. Morgan, Kansas. Mr. President, I move the adoption of this report of the Committee on Boards.
Is there a second? It's duly seconded. Any discussion? If not, those favoring the report will say aye. Opposed, no. The ayes have it. Well, Porter Ruth.
Now, Mr. Chairman, in accord with the bylaws of the Executive Committee, there will be an organization meeting in Room A of Freedom Hall immediately upon adjournment this afternoon. All of the newly elected members of the Executive Committee, all who are continuing as members of the Executive Committee, are urged to come to this very important meeting of the Executive Committee upon the adjournment of the session this afternoon in Room A. Thank you.
Two members appointed to the Committee on Committees previously announced are not able to be present, and the chair substitutes the following for them. R. Houston Smith of Louisiana, Thurston George of Oklahoma.
Ask to come to the platform,
will you come to the platform, please?
Next item of business is the balloting for president of the convention. You will prepare ballots upon the two men whose names were announced yesterday as leading in the preliminary voting, Ramsey Pollard of Tennessee and Roy McLean of Georgia.
Only messengers are entitled to vote. Please do not fold your ballot. Pass it down to the end of the row immediately. The ushers will receive them, and ushers, please bring them to room C146 at the rear of the platform.
Chair just learned of a resolution being referred to the Resolutions Committee and claims his privilege as chairman of asking that this particular resolution be read so as to have that information before the convention. Brother Joe Burton, will you read that resolution, please?
Brother Hayes and members of the convention, I bring this resolution by reason of my interest in the home and family life as editor of the magazine Home Life, and it relates to this very matter of concern to us. Whereas the Postmaster General of the United States has called our attention to a vast mail order business in obscene and pornographic materials, and whereas these purveyors of filth are aiming their attention chiefly at the nation's children, teenage boys and girls, and even younger, and whereas they are violating the homes of the nation in defiance of the federal government, and whereas the resources of the Post Office Department are pledged in an intense and unrelenting effort to stop this monstrous assault on the nation's children, and whereas the Postmaster General has called on all citizens to join in this battle to stop the flow of filth to our children and into our homes, therefore be it resolved by the Southern Baptist Convention in annual session assembled in the city of Louisville, first, that we commend Postmaster General Arthur E. Summerfield for this courageous stand. Second, that we pledge the support of our convention through publications and otherwise to stop this use of the mails by distributors of obscenity and pornography. And third, that we call on parents to save all such materials received through the mail, including envelopes and all enclosures, and that they turn over all this material with their protests to their local postmasters. Brother President, I understand that this will be referred automatically to the committee. The President has asked me to remind you about the ballots. Are they in? Are they all down at the ends of the rows? And will the ushers please bring them immediately? We're pressing this just as much as we can so as to conserve time and get to the election of the first vice president. Bring the ballots, please, immediately to room C146.
Under the orders of the convention heretofore entered, the next item of business pertains to a proposed amendment to the Constitution, and the chair recognizes Brother Nolan Kennedy to present his motion.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to present this matter to you and then ask the privilege of yielding to a pastor from one of the Canadian churches interested in this amendment, and also to Dr. Ramey, a former president of the Oklahoma Baptist Convention. The item referred to is Article 2 of the Constitution. If you happen to have the proceedings of 1958, it appears on page 27. If you have a copy of the Constitution, it is Article 2, Purpose. It is the purpose of the convention to provide a general organization for Baptists in the United States and its territories for the promotion of Christian missions at home and abroad, and any other objects such as Christian education, benevolent enterprises, and social services which it may deem proper and advisable for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Mr. Chairman, last year in our session, as provided by the Constitution, notice was given that at this session of the convention, there would be offered for consideration of the convention an amendment to this Article 2 of the Constitution, which would insert, following the words United States and its territories, these words, and churches in Canada who cooperate with the Southern Baptist Convention. This would make the Constitution as altered, if approved by the Convention, read like this. Article 2, Purpose. It is the purpose of the Convention to provide a general organization for Baptists in the United States, its territories, and churches in Canada who cooperate with the Southern Baptist Convention for the promotion of Christian missions at home and abroad, etc., to the conclusion of the article. Let me point out very quickly two or three things and then yield to these gentlemen for a word. This is not a proposal for admittance of these churches. Although the purpose is perfectly obvious, it is not a proposal at this time for admittance, but a proposal for a lifting of a constitutional barrier, which is apparent. The second item is that this is not an invitation to any church, now or future, which may be affiliated with any other Baptist body in Canada. Neither does it express a desire for the coming of such churches into the Southern Baptist Convention. The third statement is that this is precisely the same problem that we faced a few years ago when the churches in California, Oregon, and Washington were asking for admittance. Now for a word of testimony from one of these churches, one of our men working with them, I would like to yield, Brother Chairman, to Pastor George Irving of the Ridgecrest Baptist Church in Kamloops, British Columbia.
I'm happy to make this statement today in my hometown, Louisville, Kentucky. As a Southern Baptist who has served in Canada for 5 years, I want to thank our President Brooks Hayes for his interest in the better relations of the Southern Baptist Convention with the Baptist Federation of Canada. I have noticed in recent years no single event that has so stimulated the mutual interest of these two bodies as has the establishment of Southern Baptist churches in Canada. We Southern Baptists of Canada cannot agree with the Baptist Federation on some issues, but I want to recommend to you from our experiences that one of the best ways to encourage fellowship with the Baptist Federation is through Southern Baptist churches in Canada. Through this means, we are for the first time building fraternal relationships with them on the local level. For some people, the border seems to be an insurmountable barrier. Concerning this, I would like to say that I wish someone would tell the Mormons that, because Western Canada, with its spiritual vacuum, is being flooded by American Mormons who are establishing churches in communities, in some cases where there is no Baptist church and where there ought to be. I wish somebody would tell the Jehovah Witnesses that the border is an insurmountable barrier so that they would quit. The Jehovah Witnesses see an opportunity in Western Canada, and they make this convention look sick. 30,000 Jehovah Witnesses from all over the United States came to Vancouver, British Columbia, as an expression of their interest in Canada. They do not feel the border is a problem. Many other denominations in the United States are operating across the border. For example, in my town of Kamloops, B.C., we have a young Lutheran minister from Chicago, and he has the backing of the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church. Now, there was, previous to his coming, an older established Lutheran church in our city. But the Missouri Synod Lutheran went in and established a new prosperous work. They do not feel there is a conflict. They have found, as we have found, that Lutherans encourage other Lutherans. We find Baptists strengthen and encourage other Baptists. If we are not, as Southern Baptists in Canada, to turn to Southern Baptists, to whom shall we go? We are to cross a border to join Southern Baptists, or we are to cross our conscience and join a group committed to the ecumenical movement. We, as Canadian Southern Baptists, cannot cross our conscience. Our only alternative is Southern Baptist alignment. Oregon, Washington face the same problems we do. The American Baptist brethren felt our work would be disruptive. But 15,000 people have been baptized in the Oregon-Washington Convention since it started. And what a tragedy if we had turned thumbs down on that.
Chair recognizes Brother M.E. Ramey of Oklahoma in support of the motion.
Mr. President, message to the convention at the request of the Westwood Baptist Church, Southern, in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, year before last, the church of which I'm pastor sent me to spend 8 days with that church. More thrilling 8 days I have never experienced. One of the greatest thrills, when I went into the Baptist Adult Union on Sunday night and they were discussing the lesson from Southern Baptist literature on the cooperative program. Enthused to the limit, sending their money through the cooperative program for the support of Southern Baptist causes. Now, though they need our help, our Southern Baptist friends in Canada are not simply asking for our help. They want to do their share in the promotion of the work of Southern Baptists through the cooperative program. Southern Baptists in Canada are not trying to disturb or interfere with the work of other Baptist groups. That has been emphasized again and again. They are not seeking affiliation of existing Baptist churches in Canada. In fact, they rather discourage that. They want to open new missions in areas where there is no Baptist work, or where existing Baptist churches are not able to do the work that is needed to be done. They are simply saying to Southern Baptists, we want you to come and help us. Now, the same objections, as has been stated, the same objections were given when California asked to be recognized some years ago. The same objections were given when Oregon, Washington, the state of Kansas, and others have asked to be recognized. The only difference now is that we are getting out of Constitution or of continental USA. But who can interpret the commission of our Lord to mean that we should stop with the boundary line of constitutional USA, continental USA? Their churches will take new courage if this amendment is adopted. They will take new courage. They'll have new zeal in planning evangelistic and missionary programs. As I've said before, they send their sons and their daughters to Southern Baptist colleges, universities, and seminaries. They send their portion of the cooperative, of their receipts to the cooperative program. And are we going to say to them, we will not recognize you as Southern Baptist? I'm pleading this morning that we let our Canadian brethren go back and carry the word to Southern Baptists in Canada that Southern Baptists are for you. They recognize you. You will have your place in Southern Baptist work. I could not afford to vote to send our Canadian brothers back with a word of disappointment and discouragement to those who are sacrificing more than any of us probably have ever sacrificed or will ever sacrifice. They are doing a tremendous work for the Lord, and let's send a message back to them that you are a part of us. And the Lord will smile upon us for this action. It'll make them happy, and it'll advance the cause of Jesus Christ through the work of Southern Baptists in Canada. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman,
the chair recognizes Brother Clifton Allen in opposition to the motion.
Brother President, I respect the sincerity of purpose on the part of those proposing this change in the Constitution. I strongly question the wisdom of approving the recommendation to change the Constitution. In fact, I have a strong conviction that we would make a serious mistake to do so. I'm sure that we all share with Brother Ramey and these others a concern for the progress of Baptist life and Baptist work throughout Canada. It is at this point that I have the great concern, for I have a conviction that to approve this recommendation would militate against the objective we have in mind. It would in reality be a blow to the progress of Baptist churches by and large, and to the progress of our Baptist witness throughout the Dominion of Canada. Let me say that there are basic Christian values, basic Christian principles that ought to guide this convention in action about this matter. And the first one is the value of Christian understanding. To add "and Canada" to our Constitution, thus opening the door for churches to apply for membership, or for messengers from these churches to apply for membership in our convention, would cause misunderstanding, would be misconstrued, would be easily misinterpreted by the enemies of this convention and by many others, and would lead to questions, to concern, to criticism, to suspicion in Canada, in Australia, in Europe, and around the world. For I have talked to the executive officer of the Baptist Federation of Canada. I have talked to representatives of our Baptist life in Australia. I have talked to a great many others. I report to you, as I did a year ago, receiving letters asking questions. What is the intent of the Southern Baptist Convention with respect to these matters? And I say it earnestly that this matter of Christian understanding and the possibility of the gravest sort of misunderstanding of our convention ought to guide us at this point. Second, the matter of Christian goodwill. This action would engender ill will on the part of a tremendous number of Baptist churches throughout the world, and particularly throughout Canada, and would create a serious breach in Baptist fellowship and would kindle prejudice. It is so easy, my friends, for us to use emotional words here about the affiliation of certain Baptist groups with certain ecumenical councils. We do not pass judgment upon them. Let us not misunderstand these words which kindle prejudice, and God forbid that we take action that would create greater prejudice and strife. A third principle is that of Christian consideration. Adoption of the proposal would be an affront to the Baptist Federation of Canada in particular, and to some other Baptist bodies. We owe it to other bodies to be considerate of their problems, to encourage, to reinforce, to be helpful, and not to discourage, and not to aggravate existing problems. And I say it with the greatest sort of concern, my friends, this is all the greater obligation, this matter of Christian consideration, on the part of the stronger body for the weaker body. And let us take seriously that matter. A fourth value is the matter of Christian unity and fellowship. All that we do ought to contribute to the spiritual unity and development of Christian fellowship. But to take this action would in a measure destroy unity. It might encourage unity with some very small number of churches, but it would contribute to disunity on the part of a tremendous number. It would weaken fellowship. It would engender antagonism. It could be exploited by churches, and I do not imply this about these churches, but it could be exploited by churches whose messengers coming might not be welcome into our fellowship. It could be exploited by churches and thus cause them not to seek fellowship with other established Baptist bodies. It could be used to embarrass and to hinder the work of Baptist life around the world. Further, the value of Christian progress or kingdom progress in the world, it would complicate projects underway and dissolve attitudes being cultivated that encourage fellowship. You adopted unanimously, I believe, this morning, a glorious report by Dr. Redford, reporting tremendous achievement. We heard a personal testimony of Mr. Patch telling of the great development of Baptist life in the western part of Canada. All of this is an expression of what is being achieved and what can be achieved, and to take this action would undermine it. I close by saying, my friends, some things may be lawful which are not expedient. There is a value of Christian self-denial, and if it means some self-denial for a few churches, I plead with this convention not to adopt this amendment.
Necessary for us to extend the time because time has run over, and it's out of order for us to do anything further until the convention acts on the question of time. Chair recognizes the chairman of the Order of Business Committee.
Mr. President and fellow messengers, we promised a 15-minute spot for the seminary discussion this morning. We promised 6 minutes for this matter. It went 12 minutes on the affirmative. Now we've been 6 minutes into the negative. I suggest that since this has our attention at this time, that we grant 6 more minutes for the negative, and that then we proceed with the 15 minutes on the other matter, thus giving a total overtime of about 12 minutes. This morning, I make that as a motion.
Is it seconded? Chair hears the second, so we'll put the question. Those in favor of the motion.
Mr. Chairman, on the floor to your left, Phil White from Ponder, Texas.
All right, Brother White.
I feel like we're not giving due attention in the matter of time and the number of people permitted to speak on these issues. I realize that time is an important factor. I also realize that it might snow today. If you can think back over the gentleman who just spoke and what consequences might happen. And so I respectfully ask the chair for 1 minute to speak in favor of recognizing these people from Canada who wish to join our group.
By unanimous consent, if there is no objection, the chair will recognize Brother White for 1 minute to speak in support of the motion.
Ladies and gentlemen, it has been the history of Southern Baptist and all other evangelical groups who preach the gospel fearlessly to be opposed by the majority of churchmen in established churches and other groups. Now, the question seems to me to rest on this, whether or not we are so afraid of what other groups might think that we will forbid action to be taken to recognize these men who are part of us and gone out that way, or whether we're going to recognize them and push our work further rather than contain it within itself in what I think is a selfish manner and a cowardly manner and a manner which is not in the spirit of Southern Baptist tradition. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
The question is upon the motion to extend the time. We cannot proceed further without action. Those in favor of extending the time 6 minutes to give the opposition an equal amount of time will say aye.
Aye.
Is there opposition? Chair hears none and the time is extended. Those in favor of the motion to extend the time will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. The ayes appear to have it, the ayes have it, and it's so ordered. Now, the chair is in some difficulty about the allotment of time, but 6 minutes have been allotted by the action you've just taken, and I will recognize Brother Cox for 1 minute.
Brother Chairman, I want to make an observation that seems to me is very important at this juncture. If we are going to do a thing like this, we ought to realize exactly what we might be doing. And may I read to you, please, the first sentence of Article 2 of our Constitution? Purpose, it is the purpose of the convention to provide a general organization for Baptists in the United States and its territories. Bear that statement in mind and let me read you what the amendment is. And if the amendment is adopted, we've utterly turned over our ecclesiology by one simple little amendment. And I'm sure we do not want to hurriedly rush into completely upsetting our ecclesiology by such an action as this. It is the purpose of the convention to provide a general organization. I'm reading now the amendment. It is the purpose of the convention to provide a general organization for Baptists in the United States, its territories, and churches in Canada. Now, your Southern Baptist Convention membership in the United States territorially is Baptist. Our ecclesiology has never remotely recognized. Associations are not composed of churches, they are composed of messengers from churches. State conventions are not composed of churches. They're composed of messengers from churches. And the Southern Baptist Convention is not composed of churches, but is composed of messengers from churches. But this amendment is going to give us a hybrid, if you please, for in the United States, we're a convention composed of messengers, but in Canada, we're a convention composed of churches.
Brother Norman,
well, time's gone, but I had another point or two to make.
The chair finding himself in difficulty in the allotment of time because the two other brothers do want to be heard. Brother Moncrief from Missouri, 1 minute.
Mr. President, members of the convention,
I speak because for 5 years I was pastor of the Walmer Road Baptist Church in Toronto and count the Canadian Baptist brethren as dear personal friends. I can say to you that the overwhelming majority of pastors and laymen and laywomen of the churches of Canada will feel a sense of injury and injustice if we take this act. And they will be greatly encouraged as time goes on to build their own work with our influence and cooperation if we do not take this unwise act.
Chair recognizes Brother Dorsey. C.Y. Dorsey.
Last Sunday night, I closed a simultaneous crusade with 13 Baptist churches in the South Saskatchewan province of Canada. The Division of Evangelism received an invitation 2 years ago to come and conduct that crusade and to enlist the evangelists. We took 13 of our state secretaries of evangelism at their invitation. These churches are all affiliated with the Baptist Union of Western Canada. While I was there, I went north to another association and met with the pastors to plan a similar campaign that our division is to conduct this fall. At the same time, in St. John's, New Brunswick, another simultaneous crusade will be conducted by our division, and will be the preachers will be evangelists from the United States. In this crusade that we just closed on the opening Sunday in the churches, we had 804 in Sunday school. The following Sunday, we had 1,221 in Sunday school. In this crusade, we had our methods just like we have them here in the United States. Except, brethren, they cooperated a little better than some of the pastors do here in the United States with our methods. They didn't question a lot of things that are questioned here. They didn't take any shortcuts. They carried the program out in full. And last Friday at our fellowship clinic, these churches reported 141 additions for baptism and 16 additions by letter. You take a church in the United States that has 1,200 in Sunday school and has 141 conversions before the meeting is over, that would be counted a highly successful crusade. One of these churches had two men saved in it, and their tithe is more than the budget of the church has been up until now. Then every church in the crusade reported conversions and additions save one. Now, brethren, we have 1,200 churches in Canada. They are willing to work with us. They want to work with us. They want our methods. They want our techniques. And they're asking for them. And they're pleading for them. Now, let me tell you something.
All right.
There is a difference between crossing a state line and an international line. And if you will take the advice of one who has done that, you'll vote against this amendment.
The chair recognizes the gentleman who made the motion to make a unanimous request.
Mr. Chairman, Dr. Cox is as right as he can be in the wordage of this proposal. I, who made the original motion, recognize that it is worded incorrectly. I'm really standing in behalf of a man who was sick, who wrote this and proposed it last year. I would like to move, Brother Chairman, that since time is gone, we close debate at this time, that we be granted the privilege of correcting this wordage, presenting the matter at this afternoon session without debate for a vote. I so move.
Mr. President, I would like to offer amendment to refer. If the change in the bylaws is not correct, I do not believe that it can be brought in a hurry to this convention this afternoon, and I make a motion that it be referred to the Executive Committee for study to report back at next year's convention.
The motion is that the matter be carried over until next year after referral to the appropriate committee. The Executive Committee? Was that your motion? You have heard the motion. Is there a second? It is duly seconded. Those in favor? Dr. McCall.
Mr. President, I don't believe that we can refer to even the Executive Committee the amendment of the Constitution of the Southern Baptist Convention. Nor do I believe that we can alter the motion after the year's notice was given on it. I believe we are in the position where, as a matter of parliamentary procedure, we must either vote for or against this motion. And if it is improperly worded, then we must vote it down. And if then the maker wishes to give notice of a more properly worded motion, he can do so, and we can vote on it a year from now.
The chair will sustain the point of order with reference to a change of the words, because the reason for the provision being in the Constitution that a year's notice must be given is that alterations should not be made in the basic rules under the Constitution. In other words, it gives us time to ponder the proposal. Now, the maker of the motion, who offered the amendment a year ago, representing those who sponsored this amendment, comes forward to agree with Brother Cox that the language is not acceptable. He therefore asked unanimous consent, and it would require unanimous consent, under the point made by Brother McCall, to change the language for the reasons I have indicated. Otherwise, you would be bypassing the provisions of the Constitution itself. Now, before I could submit the unanimous consent request that the provision be altered, the motion was made by Brother Ellis that it be referred to the committee. I think in view of the point made by Brother McCall, I should submit the unanimous consent request, which I had not done. Now, unless Brother Kennedy wishes to withdraw his amendment, as suggested by Brother McCall, and take a fresh start in his proposal. I'm very eager to give our friends from Oregon who initiated this proposal every opportunity under the rules to submit this question to the convention in proper order.
Beg your pardon.
The author of the resolution withdraws his request. And I think that is the most appropriate way to conclude the parliamentary difficulties which he himself concedes we do confront. Thank you very much. The matter is closed at the request of the maker of the motion.
I must have another word then on this time schedule. I may.
The chair recognizes the chairman of the committee.
Mr. President, a moment ago we approved a total of 12 minutes overtime. We are now 20 minutes overtime. Mr. Brother Stanley Wilkes furnishes us our button system, and we have three warning lights here before us, and speakers have received those warnings, but they've not followed them. I am going to offer a proposal, I think, that next year he furnish, in addition to this lighting system, he give the Committee on Order of Business a cowbell to use at the... I am embarrassed to keep interrupting, but I am going to propose that the matter relative to the seminary's report be postponed until the afternoon miscellaneous business.
Don't need to
vote on that. Then I must beg you to approve 21 more minutes overtime. We want the Sunday School Board to have time to give its report, and I so move.
Is there a second? You've heard the motion. We're acting in true Baptist fashion here. Those favor that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Is there any opposition? Chair hears none. It's so ordered.
Huh? Yeah. You ready?
Brother Joe Burton has an interesting announcement to make.
The tellers report the election of Ramsey Pollard, Knoxville, Tennessee, as your president.
Directed by the convention, we come to the seminary item of business under the general head of miscellaneous business. And,
Brother Ramsey Pollard, come to the platform, please.
Is the North Carolina brother on the platform? Chair recognizes former President J.D. Gray.
Brother President, brethren, I move that the reports of the theological seminaries as submitted to us on Monday night, that they be accepted by the convention. It seems that the point of deferring action was to just give more time for the discussion of the seminaries' reports. So it seems the motion to get the matter before us would be that we approve the reports of the seminary presidents as made on Monday night. So I so move.
Is there a second? It's duly seconded, and it is now open for discussion. Chair recognizes the brother from North Carolina. How much time?